What about the spotlight on something I mentioned a little earlier? It's got to do with the attitudes of young people, 18 to 30-year-olds, losing faith in politics in Northern Ireland. The British Council have been doing some research. And indeed, I'm going to speak to Michael Arlo, who's the head of education and society with the British Council of Northern Ireland, and also to Tara Grace Connolly, who's in her final year at Queen's University here in Belfast. She's studying law and politics, student councillor and all of that. So obviously, she's going to be generally interested. But the stats are, I suppose, to be taken with a pinch of salt or not, as the case may be. I always take stats with a pinch of salt, by the way. Let me speak to Michael. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm just looking at some of the headline figures here. And it says a third of Northern Ireland's young people have no trust in the Assembly. And when I read that, I thought, only a third? That means two-thirds have faith in something that doesn't exist. We must be the most optimistic group of young people, or we must have the most optimistic group of young people anywhere in the Western world. How could two-thirds have faith in our Assembly?
Well, it's also interesting to note that 2% have complete trust in the Assembly. I think in the context of the absence of an Assembly for a prolonged period of time, it is understandable that there's a lack of confidence in it. The interviews and the focus groups that formed the basis for this research took place in June and July of 2018.
But hold on, am I misreading the headlines? Because you're saying a third of Northern Ireland's young people have no trust in the Assembly. That means they, if we look at it negatively, that means they have zero trust. But 66% of them have at least some faith. And many of that 66% probably have decent enough faith in the Assembly. As I say, something that doesn't exist, something that has completely failed us. It doesn't matter whether you're a youngster, a middle-aged person, an elder member of the community, a person of affluence, a person of poverty, someone midstream. Our Assembly have failed us. That is fact with capital letters.
Well, I think that's also reflected in our findings around young people's attitude to the country's future. Only 20% of young people were optimistic about the future of Northern Ireland, compared to 53% who were optimistic about Ireland and its future. And I think that is hardly surprising in the context that we're in. I mean, we really commissioned this research because Ireland, North and South, is undergoing a profound change in terms of economics, politics and social change. And we wanted to get a better grip on the attitudes of young people and their aspirations, and to amplify that voice, to let the voice of young people be heard a little bit better, and maybe make a contribution to supporting better policy making, especially as regards young people. So I think it's very useful to have that insight, that there is a lack of confidence in the institutions and that there's a lack of confidence in the future of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but again, I know that's the third time I'm saying it. I think they're more confident than I expected them to be. I'm surprised they are as confident. If some of them, 66% of them, have some faith in the Assembly, that maybe that gives us reason for some hope. Now, the politicians need to take note of the younger generation, the people who are aged 18 to 30, really the people who are aged probably 14 to 30, because they're not going to put up with the nonsense that we've been through as older members of society in various guises, politically and I suppose tragically in many ways down the years, but particularly the political guidance that we've been given, the leadership we've been given, even the religious guidance that we've been given, the people we've looked to for leadership have failed us on a general scale across Northern Ireland. And these very bright, articulate, progressive, socially aware, digital-aged young people aren't going to take the nonsense that I took, and I presume, I'm not sure what age you are, Michael, but you probably endured as well.
Probably not too far off your own. Well, indeed, I think that's right. And I think, you know, there's a range of policy issues, policy areas that young people expressed real concern about. And they include things like the transgenerational impact of the conflict, And they talked a little bit about people of our generation, Frank, I suppose, who suffered as a result of the conflict in the kind of way that you're talking about, and who maybe continue to impact young people negatively. And there's a real concern about that and their associated mental health issues. But their concerns are also broader than those related to the conflict. There are also concerns about job security, about education, and about housing in particular were some of the key ones that came up. And it's interesting, though, whenever you look at their own expectations for themselves and their own life, the majority of them, about 86%, were optimistic about their own future. And they said that they had greater opportunities than previous generations, that they were open to a more global world perspective and had a lot of information from around the world that other generations hadn't had, that they felt that they had a positivity and a sense of purpose and a sense that everything will work out for them as individuals. So it's interesting to have that contrast between their lack of positivity about politics and the community and their own expectations for the outcomes for their own lives.
Did you get a sense that the faraway fields look greener syndrome is very much to the fore because they have opportunity to leave Northern Ireland? Northern Ireland in particular, which I, by the way, adore. I love Northern Ireland. I would
I
not want to be anywhere else other than Northern Ireland. But, and this is the but, if I had been able to get out of Northern Ireland when I was young, I may have gone because I was so just hurt, embarrassed, frustrated, annoyed by society here when I was a young person. But I stuck with it and I'm delighted that I made a career for myself and my family roots are here and I love all of that. I absolutely love all of that. But I can totally understand a young person who does want to leave. And sadly, so many are leaving because it's easy to leave now. It wasn't easy to leave in the 70s. It's easy to leave now. And it's heartbreaking to think that so many of our most important resource, our wonderfully educated, enthusiastic young people may be considering leaving. Are you getting that impression that they're looking globally?
No, we didn't ask specifically around those kind of issues, but certainly part of the role of the British Council is to encourage a global perspective for young people and to give them opportunities for international experiences. And I think when they come back, that certainly enriches them and gives them that kind of broader experience. It may encourage them to go elsewhere, but it may also encourage them to stay. And I think the focus is much more really around giving the opportunities to young people and letting them see what the possibilities are elsewhere. Not that we would be encouraging people to leave or to stay for that matter, but it's about making them aware and prepared for the world that is on offer to them at the moment. And some of them were reflecting on how well the education system, for example, has prepared them for those kind of global opportunities. And a lot of that was really quite negative. Probably about 50% of young people were saying that they had been well prepared for living independently in a global world. And I think we'd probably have expected that to be a little bit better.
You see, you're saying most respondents, 86%, actually felt very optimistic or optimistic about their own future. And that is great. That is fabulous to hear. I'm just worried that future isn't here. And emigration, whether it's emigration from the north or the south, is such a drain on, I suppose, the substance of a country and a society. I'm not going to go down the line of, you know, it's two countries or whatever. I'm talking about a society generally. If we lose our young people because they're frustrated with our politicians, they're frustrated with the lack of affordable housing, they're frustrated with the gig culture of work where you're not going to be paid a proper wage, if they're frustrated with the... I don't know how to best put this, but with everything that's frustrated us over the last number of years with how our politicians behave, we're going to hemorrhage them. And you know, you guys have a handle on it because you are doing the research, you're liaising with them. Is there something that can be done to make them more positive, because I despair to some extent that they may be on a downward spiral of negativity.
Yes. Well, as I say, one of the purposes of commissioning the research in the first place was to encourage better policy making, particularly in regard to youth, and to help young people to have a better say in how those policies are made. And certainly we would like to see that as part of the outcome of the research as well. And I think it's great, for example, that you have Tara with us today, who was a member of our advisory group on the research panel. And she was able to give a very clear insight into the way that some young people of her generation are thinking. And perhaps she's the one to ask around where she sees her future. Is it in Northern Ireland? Is it beyond? And what can be done to encourage her to stay?
Michael, I couldn't agree more with you. Tara is indeed available to have a conversation with us. Good morning, Tara.
Hello.
Tara, you see, when I looked at the research and I discovered that only 30% had no trust whatsoever in the Assembly, I would have expected that that would have been like 90%. So 60% have some trust in our politicians generally and in the deliverance of government here. I've lost trust. I've lost faith, and I cover this every day. But I can't help but lose faith because I'm sitting looking at major decisions being made that are going to affect me, my children, my child, and any grandchildren that I may have in the future. The major decisions, and our politicians are nowhere to be seen. That's how I see it. Now, the young people of Northern Ireland, 66% of them have some faith in our politicians. That's positive. But then when I listen to the breakdown of the research and what Michael is saying, I realise that it's not nearly as positive as we need it to be. And I'm reminded that, yeah, young people are frustrated. Are they or are they not on a downward spiral in terms of negativity, Tara?
I have to say, I think, I've been the 30% of people who would have no faith in the Assembly. I think I've lost all trust in government in Northern Ireland, which is a terrible thing to be able to say, considering how long it took us to get to the point to have a functioning government at all. But I think, I don't know if it's necessarily, I think young people are being impacted by negativity. You know, there is the terrible job market, there is insecure housing, I think there's loads of issues. But I think the Northern Irish mentality of that thing, sure will be grand, kind of permeates how people view this situation. I think young people sort of look to what they see to be elected adults, elected representatives, and think, well, maybe at some point they'll get their act together. I think it's not to be demeaning to young people, like I am one, but almost that naivety of youth to think that somehow it'll work itself out. But I do think at the moment, as a young person living in a very unstable economy, I think in the wake of Brexit as well, I have no idea what's going to happen in terms of jobs here, what we're even going to, how's it going to even look, the relationship between the North and the South, between myself and the rest of the EU. I'm quite concerned about what my future holds, and I think young people try to have a positive outlook, which is what you're seeing, and 86% of people saying, yeah, it'll be okay, I think my future's going to be grand. But I think it is quite a worrying trajectory that we're headed on in terms of people's futures.
You see, Tara, you and I seem to have similar opinion of where we are at mm-hmm. the moment, and I lived through the troubles and the negativity and every town being shut at 6 o'clock in the evening. And my goodness me, I stayed. You know, when you think about it, I should have gone. But I love this part of the world so much. And I love my family roots being here. I adore living here. There's nowhere else in the world that I want to be. And I feel I deserve, and I mean all of us, we deserve a better deal than what we're getting. And we're now playing Russian roulette with you. You are much more important than me. I'm galloping towards retirement. You're just starting out. You and everyone else around you at your age deserve so much better. How can you, as a very important voice, get it across to our politicians that you deserve better?
I think at this point, you know, they're not in government, they're not able to speak on our behalf. I think you're literally having to go and knock their doors and tell them. I don't think there's any other way at all. I think you're seeing, you know, how I became involved in a lot of these things was through youth work and youth voice and promoting the voice of young people and different means of trying to get people's voice heard and get it across. But I think at the moment, to get anything done, you're literally having to go and chase them and like knock on doors and tell them what it is you want from them. Because I think at the moment, some of the bigger issues that you're seeing, you know, same-sex marriage, Irish Language Act, the usual, or Brexit, any of those things, the way in which people's opinions are transmuted through politicians' minds is so worrying because they're not reflective of the general populace at all. And I think the only way people can get across that these are things that matter to us, this is what we want to see happen, this is what we want for our futures, you're having to go and physically tell them face-to-face by going to the constituency office, going up to Stormont, although there'll be probably nobody there, just trying to physically talk to them, because I think any other way of doing it is proving to be fruitless. And I would have little faith as well that even being able to talk to them in person would even work. I think it's a really worrying time for politics that the elected representatives that we have don't sit, and the ones that do sit, even in Westminster, don't seem to reflect the general opinions of the people they're meant to be representing. I think it's a very dangerous kind of time in politics generally, not just in Northern Ireland or in the Republic, but across the world. It seems to be politics has become a very difficult kind of arena, and it's very worrying.
Very worrying indeed.
I don't know if that answers your question, but it's very worrying.
Tara, it perfectly answers the question. It's an excellent commentary, if you don't mind me saying, on where we are at the moment. I really do appreciate you coming on. Thank you. Tara Grace Connolly and Michael Arlo. Michael, by the way, if people do want to read more detail on this, just briefly, how can they read up on the research that reflects on Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland?
It's all on our website today, and if you're on social media, there'll be tweets coming out from British Council Northern Ireland, and you'll find all the links there. So both on the website and social media, you'll find out very easily.
Lovely job. Michael and Tara, thank you very, very much indeed. That is interesting research.